Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
For that, amen. Romans chapter number 5, and I want to read one verse to you here in just a second. And Romans chapter number 5, and I love Romans chapter number 5. Matter of fact, Romans chapter number 5 is probably one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. Matter of fact, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8 is all of the Bible is dynamite. You know what I'm saying. But anyway, we learn how we can live the victorious Christian life in chapter 6, 7, and 8. Chapter number 5, we learn how to get saved. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. And I don't know how long I'm going to be. I don't have no outline wrote out this morning. I got a couple little notes just jotted down in my Bible. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. We've heard several testimonies about salvation, about the Lord saving them. And I remember David giving me his testimony about the Lord saving him. And, you know, whenever I stood here and done the homegoing service, it wasn't a funeral service, it's a homegoing service. Brother David, it made it a whole lot easier to do that because I knew Brother David's testimony of being saved. And over the past 17 years, I've done a lot of funerals, a lot of homegoing services, and I've done a lot of funerals also. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? People that didn't have the testimony of being saved. And I've done several for Moody's. They'll call me and say, hey, we need a preacher. And, man, if there's any way possible, I'll always go and I'll do those funerals for them because it's a chance and an opportunity to give the gospel to somebody. Amen. But I want to ask you a question today. And the Bible says this, that death is coming, okay? It says it's appointed unto man once to die. Death is certain. You can write that down in your little black book is what my granny used to tell my daddy. She'd say, you're in trouble and you're going to get it when you get home. And you can write that down in your little black book. My daddy always said he wanted to find that little black book she was talking about and tear it up. But anyway, death is certain. We know that if the Lord doesn't come back, every one of us sitting in this room is going to be faced with death. And you said, preacher, man, service has been good. The choir's singing and your girl's singing. Man, it's just, why you want to talk about death? Because it's scriptural to talk about death. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Death is certain, but here's something that is not certain. When we die. Nobody is certain when they'll die. You know what? There's a lot of people got up today, started their day, tied their shoes, put their clothes on, and the undertaker will take them off tonight. I did not wake up today, get out of the bed and go, probably going to die today. No, I got up today. I took a shower. I started my morning, and I began to study. I began to read the Bible. And to be real honest with you, I didn't think a whole lot about death. Because I'm not interested in dying today, okay? I'll just go ahead and tell y'all that. You say, why are you not interested in dying today? Because I enjoy life. Nacho said at this rate, Nacho Libre said, my life is good. It's really good. I love life. I really do. I enjoy life. I enjoy what I get to do. I enjoy pastoring. I enjoy serving our community. I enjoy being there for people in their times of need. Last night I got called out, and man, I enjoy being able to help others. I love life. Matter of fact, I was talking to an individual here from the church the other day. They had talked to me about something, and I just bluntly told them, Brother Brian, that I didn't think that was the best thing. And we had a little talk there, and whenever they walked off, I told Leslie that night when I got home, I said, well, I think I've done what I'm good at. And she said, what? I said, I think I made somebody mad tonight. She said, why? And I told her, and to make a long story short, the other night, that individual came back up to me, and here's what they said. Thank you. Thank you for being honest with me. Thank you for saying what you said. I needed that. And I looked at that individual, and here's what I told him. I have a problem. And they said, okay. I think they was really interested to hear about my problem. And I said, I love people too much. And they said, well, what do you mean by that statement? And I said, I'm brutally honest with people. If I think you're fixing to mess up, I'm going to tell you, you're fixing to make a mistake. You don't need to do that. It's not that I don't like people. It's that I love people too much. And I want you to think about death for just a minute this morning because I love you. Do you hear what I just said? I love you. I don't just use that statement. I mean it from the depths of my heart. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're lost and death comes knocking at your door today, you're going to open your eyes in a place called hell. And all hope will be gone. Once we're dead, that's it. There's no praying you out of purgatory. There's no hoping to get you back. That's it. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Don't you look at Romans 5, verse number 12. I'll let you remain seated. Listen to what the Bible said. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I want to talk to you just a minute this morning about the subject of salvation. Father, I love you today, and I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, you know who's here lost. You know who's here saved. God, you know who is here that, God, they need to get saved. God, you know the amount of time that they have left on this earth. God, I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A lot of people has this mentality, and I've had this stated to me many times, I'll get saved when I get ready to. Or they'll say something like this, I'll get saved at the end of my life. Well, here's the thing about death. We don't know when death is coming, and we don't know the nature of death that's coming to us. We don't know that we'll be diagnosed with a sickness and have 6 months to lay in a bed and to think about where we're going to spend eternity. We could get in a vehicle and start out the road today and somebody hit us head on and immediately be called out into eternity and not have that moment to quote unquote make peace with God. So many times I have heard people say that statement, as I get to the end of my life, I'll get saved. Matter of fact, there was a man that lived in this community, and I witnessed to him on numerous occasions. My dad witnessed to him on numerous occasions. Matter of fact, I watched my dad get down on his hands and knees one day and beg that man to get saved. The tears off of my daddy's face run off on that man's shoe that day sitting in his house. I'll never forget it. And here's what that man said. When time is right, I'll get saved. I was standing beside that man's bed the night he went out into eternity. And as far as I know, he never got saved. A lot of people says, well, why does an individual need to get saved? Because of sin. Let me just show you two or three quick things and we'll go home. Number one, I see in verse number 12 a problem today. There is a problem. What is the problem? Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Here's the problem today. Death is on its way, and it's all because of sin. Well, you go back to Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 6, when Adam and Eve both took of the fruit, even though Eve took of it first, Adam took of it also. And because of that, the Bible tells us in Romans 5, verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. The problem is this today. Every one of us sitting here is sinners. There's two types of sinners in this room today. There's saved sinners and lost sinners, but we're all sinners. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You say, well, I'm a good person today. Well, you're still a sinner. You say, I help my community. You're still a sinner. You say, I give to the poor. You're still a sinner. You say, I'm sitting in church. You're still a sinner. Guess what? I do everything that you just said. I give to the church. I give my tithes. I give to Faith Promise. I give above that. I try to help my community. I try to preach the word. I try to be there when people need me, but I'm still a sinner today. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You see, the Bible said in the latter portion of verse number 12, for that all have sinned. There is a problem today, and sin is the problem. I thought about this. I'm not going to run this rabbit, but everybody wants to talk about it's a gun problem today because so many people's dying. No, you know what? I've never had a gun in my house shoot me. That's good preaching. I've never had a gun in my house shoot me. I carry concealed practically all the time, and it's never shot me. Matter of fact, you know what I could do? I could line that whole wall with guns today, and none of them would shoot you. It's not a gun problem. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 6, and it was a rock problem in Genesis chapter number 6 because Cain killed Abel with a rock. And it wasn't a rock problem then. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, and we find the root of the problem. It's sin today. It's sin today. Let me tell you the problem with our country today. It's sin today. And our problem is this today. It's sin. And whenever you study a Bible, God and man was separated, and the problem of it was sin. We have a problem today, but watch this. We not only have a problem, there's a penalty today. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in James chapter number 1, verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, the penalty for sin today is death. Last night, about the only thing good on TV anymore is the Andy Griffith Show. And Olivia loves the Andy Griffith Show. Every day she runs downstairs to sit on the couch with Dad and watch an episode of the Andy Griffith. We're in season 2 now. We've went all the way back to the beginning and started at the beginning. We're in season 2 now, and there was a woman come flying down the road by Barney and Andy and Opie and Floyd as they was coming back from a fishing trip. And I think it's so funny because, Brother Blake, all of them jump in the patrol car. Barney's got his waders on and his fishing hat on. They all jump in the patrol car and they take off after her. And Floyd and Opie's in the back seat. And they get, and I mean, Opie ends up getting called as a character witness on this case. But they get this woman pulled over. They talk to her. He writes her a ticket. She gets upset about it. Wants to see the magistrate. And guess what? Andy's the justice of the peace. She begins to talk, and it goes from $10 up to like $85, and she appeals it to something else. You see, there was a penalty for what she had done. Now, I know that's the Andy Griffith Show, but there was a penalty for what she had done. You see, for your sin today, there's a penalty. And according to the Word of God, that penalty is death. You know what I believe today? You may disagree with me, and if you do, that's okay. I'm not going to argue with me. I believe if Adam and Eve had never sinned, they'd still be alive today. I mean, some of y'all think some people in here is old. Could you imagine Adam and Eve? I believe they would still look like they did the day God created them. I don't think they would have aged one bit, kind of like me. I don't believe that they would have aged one bit. You say, why'd you shave your beard? Because it was gray and I got tired of people picking on me. I said, where'd that come from? When as church members, I just pointed back at them. You'll get that in a minute. I wasn't pointing at you, I was pointing at Gloria. I don't believe they would have aged one bit. Let me tell you the reason why. The product of sin is death. And you know what happens the day that you are born? You start dying. The very day that you're born, you start dying. The penalty for sin, that is the problem, is death. Watch this, though. There's a provision that's made. There's a provision that is made. Go to verse 15. Here's what we've established. We're all sinners. Because we're all sinners, we're going to die. Watch this. There's a provision. Look in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. Now, if you underline in your Bible, I'd invite you to underline these next few words. Much more the grace of God. Boy, that's good right there. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, watch this, Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. And the Bible said in verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Skip down to verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Three different times. You'll find verse 15, much more the grace of God. Verse 17, much more they which receive abundance grace. Verse number 20, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. You see, there was a provision that was made because of the problem and because of the penalty. God decided, you know what? I like man. And I want to talk with man. And I want to fellowship with man. So I'm going to provide a way that man can be brought back into fellowship with God. And he done that through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, for the wages of sin is death. You hear me? If you go over just a couple chapters in Romans, the wages. You know what that word wages is, don't you? It's a simple word. It's payment. It's payment. In other words, if Brother Brian said, hey, preacher, I'm going to pay you $2,000 to come clean my yard up. I'd be glad to do it for that, by the way. And I tell you what, Brother Ramey, I'll hire you for $1,500 to do it, and I'll just pocket $500 and not even do nothing. You say, would you do that? Let Brian offer it to me and see. I'm going to pay you $2,000 to clean the yard. And I go over there and I clean the yard. When I get done, guess what? I'm expecting my wages. I'm expecting my payment. You say, what if he don't pay you? One of the two of us is going to total whoop it. No, I'm just picking. I might not be. But anyway, I'm expecting a payment. You see, the Bible said this, for the wages of sin is death. Who is it that sin? The problem is sin. It's everybody today, and the penalty for that is death. But there is a provision. He said, by grace. He said, by grace. Look in verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. It's not in my words. It's not in your words. It's not in Buddha. It's not in Allah. It's not in Joseph Smith. It's not in Mother Mary. It's in Jesus Christ alone. For the wages of sin is death. But, that verse don't stop. But the gift of God is eternal life. What was the gift of God? The gift of God is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, what did his Son do? Here's what Jesus did. Jesus went to Calvary and laid his life down willingly and bled and died so that we could be made free and brought back into fellowship with God and have a way to heaven. You see, there is a problem. You see, there is a penalty. But there's also a provision today. God don't want you to die and go to hell. Did you hear what I just said this morning? God, you say, well, preacher, why did God create hell? For the devil and his angels. That's what the Bible said. It said he created hell for devil and his angels. God's not interested in you going to hell today. God's not interested in you missing heaven today. God wants you in heaven with Him, but there is a problem. The problem was sin, and the penalty is this, it's death. But Jesus took your place. There is a provision. I want you to see something, and I'm right now done. There's a prerequisite also. So, preacher, what does that mean? There's a requirement. There's a prerequisite to this. I want you to go back to verse number 17. Brother Justin, can you give us verse 17 on the screen? I want you to see something right here. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. There's a prerequisite in that verse. There's a requirement in that verse for you to get saved. Can I show it to you? Look what he says. Much more, the second line, much more they which, the first word of the third line, receive. That's the key word in this whole chapter. Receive. You see, here's the thing. God's given you the gift of salvation, but it's up to you to receive it. It's up to you to accept that. It's up to you to ask Him for that. I thought about this. Come here, Peyton, and help me. Oh, no. Anybody got any little bills? Smallest one I got's a five. Y'all get that in a minute. Come here. Now, this is yours, okay? You know what it's for? It's just yours, okay? It's yours. Watch this. I'm going to write your name on it. How you spell your name? L, do what? P-E-Y-T-O-N. Okay, that's going to pick on you a little bit, but I'm not. Hey, he's a good young man, ain't he? That's yours. All right? I mean, it's got your name on it. But there it is. All right, you can go sit down. Now you make, Robert said he was next. You make sure you tithe off that tonight. You know what 10% of 10 is? 9. It's the way to do math today. I want you to see something. Do you see how easy that was? Same way with salvation. It's yours. God provided everything that you need to be saved. But it comes down to this, and the Lord has brought me back to this so many times in the past few weeks. You got to make a choice. If I could say, do you care to start playing softer than standing? If I could save you today, I would do it. My wife and I, just about every morning, pray together. There are some mornings that she just refuses to get out of the bed early, and I have to get my day started. But just about every morning, we pray together. And there's names that we call out every morning. God saved such and such. God, by their testimony, they've said they're not saved. God, would you please save them? God, would you please save such and such? God, would you please, Lord, I don't know about this one. I'm not sure. So God would, if they're not, God, would you say, every morning, their names is called out to the Lord. If I could save them, Brother Matt, instead of praying for them, I would go to where they was at and I would save them, Brother Brian. I would do that, but I can't. You see, the prerequisite went away. The prerequisite is this. He's going to get it right back for us. Receive. You got to receive the Lord. He'll save you today. And before we even start down the road of, you just don't know what all I've done. You just don't know where I've been. You just stop. It don't matter. It don't matter. Paul said that God saved him and he was the chief sinner. Let's just scratch all that. Just as Peyton taking that $10 bill out of my hand this morning and walking back to his seat, salvation is that simple. All you have to do is receive it. You say, preacher, how do I do that? Acknowledge you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe that God will save you. He'll do it. You say, how do you know that? Because he said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, you got to call on him and ask him. You got to call on him and ask him. What if we never gather like this again? What if the next time we gather in this building, because if a major tragedy hit our church today, we probably wouldn't have church tonight. We would be with a family somewhere. That's just the way our church is. We may would have a prayer meeting. What if the next time we gather, what if the next time we gather for a service in Amazing Grace Baptist Church, it's for your funeral? You said, preacher, it's not going to be. How do you know? What if it's for my funeral? I'll tell you, just a few months ago, I thought it was going to be for my funeral. What if it's for my funeral? Well, let me just say this. Don't sit around and weep and cry, and don't ask them to open the coffin because they ain't going to. I got strict instructions on that. No, don't. Nobody. I'm going to look this way. Don't nobody get mad at me. But when you walk by a coffin and people go, boy, they sure look good, don't they? All the dead. They look a whole lot better alive. Okay? Don't open. I done told them, if you open my coffin, I'm jumping out of it, okay? I done picked out the pictures, Brother Brian, to set. Mama said, you really want that? I said, yes, I really want that one. I picked out the pictures to set. And what if the next time we meet in this building, it's for my funeral? I want you to hear me, what I'm fixing to say. I'll be in a whole lot better place. I thought so much for some reason this week about Miss Kay Gallion. I thought so much about that sweet lady. And I can't, you know what? I'm going to be in heaven with her. And Myra. Boy, I thought about Myra this week. Some of y'all don't have a clue who I'm talking about. But Miss Myra came here for years and her dad started the church and she died with Lou Gehrig's. I thought about her. I thought about my grandparents. I don't know why, but I thought about a bunch of them this week. And if y'all, the next time y'all gather, it's for a funeral right here for me. I'm in a lot better shape than any of y'all are. But can you say that? If the next time we gather is for your funeral, can the preacher stand up and say, well, you know what? Old Robert Potts, boy, I hope it ain't him, but I'm going to use him as an illustration. Old Robert Potts was faithful to church, but that ain't what saved him. I'll never forget him telling me about the night the Lord came into his heart and God saved him and God changed his life. Thank God we'll see Robert again. Can we say that about you? If not, hear me and hear me well. Jesus loves you. Jesus will save you. You say, will he really save me? Yes, he'll really save you. What I got to do? Just ask him. Just ask him. Lord, save me. And I'm going to tell you something. If you believe that he'll do that, and you're turning to him with all your heart, I got real good news this morning. He'll save you. You say, well, what about this and what? Forget about all that. Just worry about getting saved first. He'll save you. Father, as we